whether you're getting away or getting amongst it. Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy with the Holden Colorado. Now with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range, you're free to take on anything. Visit Holden.com for more details. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello Australia, and welcome to the big Monday edition of Kennedy Malloy. I went to the Aquas on Saturday night and I'm still hungover. How good is that night?
I'm Jane Kennedy, I went to the Aquas and I'm not hungover. Or am I? Where am I? Hello Dave, how are you? Out.
I'm dangerous Dave and I'm still a bit seedy. But I'm good.
Okay. All right, we'll get to that in just a moment.
It's Monday.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk feuds. Harry v. William.
Oh, this upsets me a lot.
Well, yeah. They're now on record.
Oh, no.
It's on. Like a ding-dong.
We've got a few feuds that we want you to involve yourself with.
Mattis versus Trump. We're going to play you some incredible audio.
And I'm afraid,
of General Mattis.
Incredible.
Having an absolute crack. At Donald Trump.
And we have to talk about the poo jogger again, right. I'm afraid. It's not going away. She's not going away. And
big story.
Big story. Now, Qantas.
What?
Have done a historic flight, 19 hours from New York to Sydney.
Would you like to be on a plane for 19 and a half hours?
No.
Well, let's ask someone who was on it.
All right.
Going to try and speak to someone
on the
plane. We'll get to the bottom of that.
Now, the newspapers this morning, you may have noticed the front page of every newspaper in the country. The right to know and what's being hidden by the government? What don't we know? By the cops, by everybody. Justin Quill is going to talk to us about this. He's on to everything.
He knows. He can explain it
to
us
everything.
Radio dumb guys
what
the hell is going on. Dave O'Neill is back.
Yes. Bang.
Excellent news.
It's been too long. High Call Bullshit will be up and running.
Yes, it will be.
Better Idiots will get a run. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. All that and so much more. I'm glad we all made it back safely.
Yeah,
thank you, Brisbane, for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Acras, for, well, we won two awards.
We did.
One for marketing.
We won a marketing award for our advertising campaign of you and I playing dress-ups.
That's right. And one I'm particularly proud of, which was our for community.
Community service.
Service, which we did a gig up at Yuendamu.
In Central Australia, Northern Territory.
Well done, Whitney and Marshy, who produced that.
And we must say, too, because not all our team. James wasn't able to be there and Maddie wasn't able to be there.
No great loss. Let's be honest. Did it affect you at all?
Yes, it did.
I thought about him.
It upset me that he wasn't there.
Okay.
So we stay, you know, you get put up, you stay in a beautiful hotel, which we did, called the Fantozzo.
Can I just say this to get the ball rolling? If I don't need to see another photo of Asher Keddie.
So let me explain.
Again.
Let me explain.
And I like Asher Keddie.
Yes, I do too. Of course. She's a great actress. So the Fantozzo Hotel in Brisbane is a very groovy.
It's a shrine to Asher
Keddie. Beautiful. Well, Vince Fantozzo, it's named. There's a series of hotels in Australia called the Art Series Hotels. And they're named after David Larwell, who's an artist. Also, Olsen.
I want to stay at the Pickering.
There's no Larry Pickering Hotel. I'll give you the tip. Okay. But there is in Brisbane to Vince Fantozzo. Now, Vince won an award for his painting of Asher.
Yeah, explain why there's so many Asher Keddies, would you?
Because he's married to her. They're partners now and they have children. But he also has a lot
of... And he's erected a shrine to her.
Yes. So you walk in and there's Asher staring at you.
Well, there's an Asher Keddie the size of, like, Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, everywhere.
Like Stalin.
Every room.
But not only Asher... a lot of their acting friends.
In my room, there's a bookmark. There's a picture.
Yeah.
It's like Asher Keddie, Asher Keddie, Asher Keddie.
Yes. Well, how would you like
it? I'm a fan. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
If you had Matt Moran staring down at you over your bed when you're trying to have a snooze.
In real or in a photo?
No, in a photo because he's a celebrity chef. Yeah. I'm sure Matt doesn't like that title.
So he photographs.
He's a chef.
Is it photographs?
Yeah. Fitzy had
paintings
Michael
and photographs. Michael Gadinski.
Yeah, Fitzy had Michael Gadinski in his room.
Didn't you have Vince himself
taking a photo
with a pair of, like, what was staring at you?
It's not good. It's not.
It's quite
seriously,
bizarre.
Otherwise, it was good. I tell you.
Oh, no, there's one thing. You know, in groovy hotels, though, which are beautiful, it was a beautiful room, but.
It's like cult headquarters, that's what it was. It was like a big cult.
Mickey,
it was like.
Did you have this problem in your room? I couldn't turn the lights off. I tried all these buttons. In the end, I had to get a towel and some of my clothes and put it over some of the lamps.
Too many switches.
Too many switches, and then I had to unplug things from a wall.
At one stage, I was drunk on my bed, thinking they were clap-ons. Okay. Just nothing was happening. Hey, here's the trick. This is really simple. I'll keep it simple for anyone designing a hotel. Mm. When you lie in your bed, there's one button beside your bed. You push it, and all the friggin' lights go out. Is that too much?
It was so bizarre. It was bizarre. But anyway, it was a good...
It was a good hotel otherwise.
Beautiful hotel.
You've had a good night when you end up in Moon Man's hotel room.
Well, is that where you were?
Yeah, Mick and I...
And I have to drag you out. You're going, I'm having too much fun.
Moon Man. Lawrence Mooney.
I'm going, get down off the bench, Jane. Pop your top on and let's go.
Jane.
I beg your... Pardon.
That's shocking.
We were having some French champagne to celebrate Moon Man's award.
He
won Best Entertainment. I don't know. So is this a new category? Best Entertainment
Presenter.
Yeah. Moon Man won, which is great. Of course, he is on Sydney Breakfast Radio. Mm.
And also, congratulations to the great Uncle Doug Mulray, who took out the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. He was great.
Made a huge figure in.
Massive.
You know what? And that's a long time coming.
Good
when
on
I think
him.
About
I agree.
It.
That's awesome.
All good.
It was all good.
And well done to the Chaser Boys too. Is the other one I wanted to mention.
Yes.
They hosted beautifully.
That was Chris and Andrew from the Chaser hosted beautifully. And there were a few other awards we were up for, and we did lose out to them.
Chaser got the best comedy, pre-recorded comedy sketch. We were nominated. We didn't win. Well done, Chaser. But we've got the bit here.
And it's not quite a sketh. What it is a bit of a moment where, again, you're harassing me and I end up the brunt of your joke.
Let's go.
Dear Channel 9 bigwigs, you need a Today Show host who is fearless in the face of her enemies.
Give me back my phone, asshole.
Someone unfiltered and raw.
Do you know what? I had a good pork this week.
Jeez. And someone who isn't afraid to say it how it is.
This is, I think we have.
Jane Kennedy brings a fresh face to women's issues.
Girls do the wahoo. Chicka chicka.
Do the
wahoo. Clickety click.
And a sympathetic ear to men's issues.
I feel sorry for micropenises.
Unlike former hosts, she knows how to hide her on-set drinking.
I would smuggle it in a secret way, only women know how.
And she knows how to give the ratings that bit of a boost.
I sat on my phone. It was vibrating underneath me.
This show's
just might happened? Do it again.
She'll be great at celebrity interviews.
David Taylor, I would like to you guys.
Jeez Louise.
Seriously, the only other person I was Alice Cooper.
She speaks multiple languages.
I've got double go, nub go, have a go, I've got have again, put good, I've got with get yes.
And has interesting hobbies.
I was a philatelist.
Plus, she'll fix anything that's broken on the set.
Tradie Joanie's been doing some unbelievable handiwork.
She can fill in last minute when the musical guest cancels.
There's no one as lovely in the world as me.
And who doesn't love having a dog as big as a horse on the set?
Hey, I want to clown someone. Oh, sorry.
So surely you're convinced by now. But if not, Jane is willing to go the extra mile to score this gig.
Who am I sleeping with? Do I have to get on all fours?
Let's all wake up with Jane.
Yeah, dickheads.
Wow.
What is wrong with you?
Hang on. Jeez. I think some of that was manipulated.
I
don't think that's
me.
I don't know you anymore.
Really? I can't understand why that didn't win.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk feuds and a little bit of poo jogging.
Yes. It's the classy Kennedy Malloy Show on Triple M.
Thanks to Holden Colorado. Now back with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dave O'Neill, who I sat in the departure lounge yesterday in Brisbane. He's got a story to tell. He was up that way. He's going to join us in the second hour on Kennedy Malloy.
You weren't in the chairman's lounge, were you?
No, I certainly was not.
Was Dave O'Neill in the chairman's lounge?
No, he wasn't.
Still going to go.
I think it's looking good for me.
Oh, you reckon?
I'll ruin it.
If
you get into the chairman's lounge and I don't, trust me.
Do you know how much delight I would take if we're both walking through to the Qantas Club and I just say, I'll see you on the flight. And you go, where are you going? I go, I'll see the secret door. Bam, that's me.
You're in.
How do you think that would go down?
Well, you're just not suitable.
Do you reckon?
You're not the right type of person that they want.
See, if you Alan Joyce that way when I do
like
my
him.
Nudie run through the chairman's lounge.
That will get you kicked out in a second.
Hence my point. Okay, we're going to talk about feuds. We're not. We're
it's
not
on.
In a feud.
We've been
in a
like
feud.
A
if I got into the chairman's club, then we
that
would
be
have
a feud.
Yeah, it'd start, wouldn't it?
Yes.
This is really disappointing, and I don't know why Harry said this, but there's a documentary currently with Prince Harry and Meghan on their travelling through Africa. The British news anchor Ton Bradbury has really got them to open up. They're both obviously a bit fragile. Can I just say, talk to that? You've got one baby. She's a bit tired.
One baby, six houses. You've got one baby and a staff of 50.
Please.
Six houses.
However,
and it's tough for you.
I think that Harry is basically going through a bit of trauma and thinking about to his mum a lot. And that is fair enough because it's upsetting for him. Let's just have a listen to how he talks about his relationship with his
father. This isn't a doco.
It's in a doco. They've agreed to do. I'll comment about that after we have a listen to him. Here's Harry.
Look, we're brothers. We'll always be brothers. We're certainly on different paths at the moment, but I will always be there for him, and as I know, he'll always be there for me. You know, we don't see each other as much as we used to because we're so busy. But you know, I love him dearly, and you know, it's just as I said, as brothers, you know, you have good days, you have bad days.
My God.
Okay, so what they've all picked up on.
If I spoke about my brothers like that, they would come around and kick me in the
face. That's right.
They would go, you are a jerk.
Of course the press have picked up when he said we're on different paths at the moment. Yeah. That is a very telling thing to say.
Mm. And it's acknowledging that there's trouble at Mill.
There's trouble at Mill. And
do you know what? I just, every time I hear that, I see that, and you see sad little Sookie La La face and having a cry. Mm. I really miss nude billiards, Harry. I really miss Vegas, Harry.
But
nude
he was
billiards,
young.
Harry.
That was his when he was young and mucking around.
Just because you get married and you know all of a sudden you don't have to give up. You don't have to give up on life and just become a sad sack. That's not in the brief.
Well, he's grown up. He made the choice to marry Meghan.
So you're saying to get married?
You're not married.
No mystery there. Yeah, that's just your word.
Meghan was warned not to marry Harry. Her British friend said, you don't know what you're getting into. It's a different thing altogether.
I think she didn't know what she was getting into.
No, she didn't.
Despite all the complaining, she loves it.
No, she doesn't.
Okay, put it this, why would you go on a doco to complain that you're too much in the public eye? You know what's really hard for us? Because we're in the public eye. You're saying it on a doco. You've agreed to do.
I agree. Why are you doing that? Why are you going on a doco? Just zip it.
Join a convent, enter a witness protection scheme, take a stupid baby and just go away.
All right. Mickey wins.
Hey, I've got a quick one for you.
Let's
go. Have we got time for this?
Yes.
So I've been following this. Trump, you know, I hate to say this because I've said this a million times, but for the first time genuinely appears to be on the ropes. He's putting out fires everywhere.
Now, everyone's saying this. I don't believe it.
It's just hope. It's
I
just
don't
hope.
Believe it.
So there's Ukraine that's bubbling away. His attempt to have Mar-a-Lago host the G7 conference.
That's
there's impeachment trials. But he came out and he said one of the most incredible things about one of the great generals, wartime generals, General Mattis, and he came out and he's had a crack at him. He said, well, what would he know? what would he know? Oh.
Most overrated general.
Mm. Okay.
He also said that about Meryl Streep, by the way. She's the most overrated actress. Mm.
So here we go. Here's a speech from General Mattis, post-Donald Trump's calling him the world's most overrated general. Here's his response.
I mean, I'm not just an overrated general. I am the world's most overrated. I'm honored to be considered that by Donald Trump because he also called Meryl Streep an overrated actress. So I guess I'm the Meryl Streep of generals. And frankly, that sounds pretty good to me. And you do have to admit that between me and Meryl, at least we've had some victories. And some of you were kind during the reception and asked me if this bothered me. And of course not. I'd earned my spurs on the battlefield, and Donald Trump earned his spurs in a letter from a doctor. Not in the least bit put out by it. And I think the only person in the military that Mr. Trump doesn't think is overrated is Colonel Sanders.
Holy moly!
Slam, isn't it? So
bang.
There you go. Gotcha.
That's amazing. Okay.
Anyway, it's about time someone said something publicly when he just slags everyone.
And
off
someone
and
with
gets
authority.
Away with it.
That's right.
Authority figure. All right, we're going to come back and talk about another feud. Is there a feud between the poo jogger and Roxy Jacinto?
I think there is. I think there's a pattern of behaviour that we could point to.
We will discuss after this.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Yes, Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy here right now. You're listening to Kennedy Molloy.
You sure are. Let's talk poo jogging.
Sure.
The reason we're doing it is that it's still in the news.
It's hilarious.
Well, there was a podcast that's gone called Shameless. Melbourne journalists Zara McDonald and Michelle Andrews weighed in on the controversy. And they're saying, look, was it the right thing for Roxy to post this and say, do you know this woman? Because they've been contacted and told that the girl who has done it is not in a good place and has shut down all her social media and everything because she's...
I can help her.
Yeah?
I can help her to get out of that dark place.
Yeah, you do that.
Stop taking a dump in public!
Okay.
There it is.
Yes. So I didn't realise this.
Please.
She's done it 4 weeks in a row.
Okay, if someone takes a dump out the front of your house for four weeks in a row, I think it's got to stop. I think you can post.
Can
you recognise this person?
Mm. Yeah, because you want to make them stop. And interestingly enough, it has stopped since she posted it. All right? So there's a bit of a link.
She'll be back.
Really? I don't think
so. She's biding her time. She's probably stockpiling.
I'm fascinated by poo joggers. You know this. Oh. You know why I'm fascinated.
Well,
a clinical psychologist.
I am too, but purely for comedy. You're studying it, or I'm just laughing at something.
You were concerned from the start, though. I was concerned. I know you were.
Because it's kind of, a clinical psychologist
says. I'd give it a go.
No, listen.
Oh. I wouldn't put it on my Tinder profile, but I'd give it a go.
You would not.
Yes, I would. Next time I go for a jog, I'm taking reading material.
Ah. Oh.
But she took toilet paper with her. What I can't understand.
So she's pre-planned.
Yes, but how does her body do it? Like, if I knew, I could do that every day.
Yeah.
But who knows, they can do it the same time every day. A clinical psychologist, Grant Brecht, has said it can be like an adrenaline rush, similar to the feeling of taking a hit of heroin.
Yeah, I'll take the heroin, thanks.
They say seeking a thrill.
Hey, do you reckon Richie's doing it? If feet go up and down like dogs? You know when they go...
they start to do a little circle. And cats do that too. No, there's a number of reasons behind it. I'm trying to be serious now. It could be OCD.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it at the same time. You know, like have to wash your hands all the time and people get in their heads. It could be a psychosis.
You need to wash your hands if you're just playing for a poo jog. I'll give you that.
I don't know what's going on. But I'll tell you what, here's
a reason for it. Maybe you hate Roxy Jasenko.
Maybe she's got something.
Well, is that...
Yes, the girls have said that friends have contacted them from the podcast and said...
Who are these
you
friends?
You don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
I put it to you.
So that says something's happened.
Again, I'm no Einstein.
That's true.
But
can we just grab that?
But when you... going out of your way... And taking a dump out the front of someone's house and you do it for 4 weeks in a row, I would suggest to you
she's targeting
there's
Roxy.
A pattern of behaviour and she could be targeting.
Maybe she's a disgruntled ex-employee.
Oh.
That's all I'm putting out there. I don't know because why
I
would
hope
you
she's
target
not a current
Roxy?
One. So that's 4 weeks in a row. It sounds like a fuse. It's getting a bit nutty in here.
It's a fuse.
It begs a question though. 133353, if you were a poo jogger, where would you take your poo? If you want to...
Don't ask me. I'm not answering.
If you want to...
Are you wanting calls?
Yeah, I do. 133353. Now, where would you go to make your statement? Who would you really want to...
Where would you go?
Probably the Collingwood football
club. Why?
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Eddie. Cop that. Thanks, Ed.
There's
something to go on with.
Mm. Well, everyone
just
who bags to Collingwood.
Out the front of you.
I've got an idea where I'd do it.
Recruit that.
Where would you do it, Dave?
I'd do it at the baggage carousel at the airport. So just sort of create a room for yourself that you can get your suitcase. After yesterday.
Have you had bad service?
Oh, yesterday I couldn't get close to my bag. Everyone's like crowding around. I moved back.
Well, that's quite smart.
And would you do it on the baggage carousel?
So that everybody clears away.
So that it keeps coming around.
God, who am I working with?
I hadn't thought. That's not a bad idea.
I'll do it at the chairman's lounge if you get in and I don't.
I beg your pardon.
Right out the front.
That door will close toot sweet on you. Give us a call, 133353. I don't even know. I'm not encouraging this.
Where would you do it? There's many places.
No, well, it means upset with someone, if you've got someone who's not doing the right thing.
I would do it inside a cinema screening, Downton Abbey. There,
that's
I said
just
it.
Rude. Right.
All right. Well, we'll take some calls in. 1-3-3-5-3.
Come disrespectful.
On. You don't have to ring in.
To Downton Abbey and everything it stands for.
That's like a review.
I think that's how they do
it. A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Justin Quill, who's a media lawyer, he's going to join us very soon on Kennedy Malloy. But right now we're talking.
Oh, dear.
Well, we'll take it up market after this. But just join us in the gutter for a moment,
Justin,
as we discuss the concept of poo jogging. I put it to you that the poo jogger's targeting Roxy Jacinco. Same place, same time, 4 weeks. I asked our listeners, 1-3-3-5-3, if you were going to take up the poo jogging, who would you target? David's on the line. David, who would you target?
How you going, Mick?
Yeah, good, mate.
Oh, I'd definitely have to go for my old boss on his front doorstep every single day.
Now,
why is that? What happened?
Yeah.
My old boss, he was just, you know, he wasn't a good bloke. He was a bit unfair to me, and I just reckon it would drive him up the wall.
And what was your job? What was it?
I was an apprentice bricklayer.
You've been laying a few more bricks.
Yeah, exactly.
But before
I'd be laying some bricks on his doorstep for him.
I'm still fascinated how people can do it on command. That just kills me.
Reading material.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Thank you, David.
Steve.
Yes, mate. I thought old Logies just add to the crap that's already there, I reckon.
Well, you get at the red carpet at the Logies.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And in the form that I'm in, mate, I've just come back from a 10-day surf trip to the Mentawai, so it wouldn't be great.
Okay. We don't need to go right into bowel movement details.
Okay, it's getting really threatening now.
This is Triple M, classy, friendly family radio. Hello, Michael.
He's made his point.
I know. Yes. Michael, tell us about yourself.
I wasn't a poo jogger, I was a poo cyclist.
No,
cyclist, okay.
Now, it's good to get into the head of somebody. Were you a serial poo cyclist?
No, just for once. I lost my license a lot of years ago and I used to ride my bike everywhere. Come home from the pub at 3 in the morning, I needed to go, and it was just some random straight yard.
So it was an emergency poo.
It was emergency. It wasn't planned, but hit and run.
But you didn't do it in the same person's yard, did you?
No, I only did it the one.
Did you at least get off the bike, or did you just for you?
I did
just
get off the bike. Yeah, I did get off the bike.
Yeah, I don't think you're a proper poo cyclist. You just need to go the dunny in the middle of the night because you.
I ran on an exercise bike.
God help us. We're still going with this?
Yes, because I find it fascinating, Jane.
Okay.
Read a book or something. I'll finish this segment.
Read a magazine.
Take a magazine.
Don't take a
Belinda,
time.
Belinda.
Yes,
you have some information regarding the practice?
I'm not a person. I'm not a poo jogger myself, but I actually work for a council, and we have a bus stop pooper.
Oh, the council, so you're aware of this. What line? What route?
People complain about it in sort of the Lake Macquarie area, but, he or she tends to poop at, like, a certain bus shelter on a fairly regular occurrence.
But it's not a toilet. It's a bus shelter.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and people sometimes will send us photos of it so that we can send a clean-up crew.
It's a bit graphic.
Holy. So how can they tell the difference between dog poop and human poop?
Well, it's sometimes there's toilet paper with it.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
Belinda. Okay, it's harrowing enough catching public transport these days.
You know when you got to go at the bus stop and there's no
one. Oh, my God.
Again.
Why is no one going behind a bush?
Call an Uber. Alan's on the line. Alan, what's your background?
Hi, how you going?
Good.
I'm a farmer, but when I was younger, I was in the army in Watsonia, in Melbourne.
Yep.
And we used to have a phantom pooer.
In what form and place did this happen?
Well, you'd show up to work and you'd open up your desk and there'd be a nice little...
Oh, you're joking, Alan.
It's like Zorro. Gotcha. Yeah. My work here is done.
Yeah, and it went on for about 6 years and no one could find out.
6 years? No one knew who it was.
I think I heard about this guy. Didn't he do one in a fish tank?
Well, he did it everywhere. And he even mailed.
Come off it.
Was clearly your teacher.
Priority paid or?
Someone the head of the whole army.
Express post.
Well, you couldn't do that now because of security cameras.
Yeah, well, it was all over the place. And because the army barracks were so big and the base was so big, there'd be people, you'd find it in lockers.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
Alan, you know what?
Thank you.
Bit of harmless fun. And I'd give that guy a promotion. He'd be at least a two-star general.
We got one more call?
No, I don't think so.
Well done, everyone.
Yeah. Can we clean it up a little bit? Yeah. We're going to change big gears here because there's something that you would have noticed in today's papers, and the front page is the same in every paper in the metropolitan area.
Fascinating.
No matter what state you're in, it's all about censorship. We're going to speak to Justin Quill, who knows all about it.
He's a media lawyer. He's going to explain it.
He's a gun. He knows what he's talking about.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
The stark images across the front of all major newspapers in Australia are sending a very clear message.
All calling for press freedom and your right to know about what is happening in our country.
Genuine concern that the public's right to know the truth is being compromised.
Follows raids on the home of News Corp journalist Annika Smethurst and the headquarters of the ABC in Sydney.
Trying to get information out of the Australian government is much more difficult. They're much less transparent, much more likely to say something's commercial in confidence and you can't have it. Even though it's your taxpayers' dollars that they're spending, they are very tight with information. And since 2001, we've seen 75 new pieces of legislation passed through the National Parliament on national security. Now, that's a good thing, but in almost every one of those, there's some reference to a communications activity. That's what we do, and we're simply trying to make sure that the laws that have been passed don't make an already bad situation in Australia much worse.
Well, to try and work out what has been going on today, when you looked at your newspaper, everyone, and across the board...
It's a big impact, isn't it?
News.com, News Corp to Fairfax newspapers have all run with the same front page. We're speaking with Justin Quill, media lawyer, and Justin has specialised in media law, defamation and administrative law, and probably should be a very good friend to Mick Malloy.
I have his card.
You have his card. Welcome, Justin.
Great to be here, guys.
Yeah, now, Justin, can you dissect this for us? The first thing is, who do you think makes the first phone call and go, hey, everybody, all journalists, regardless of who we're working for and what our beliefs are, this is an issue with freedom of speech. Who do you think has started the ball rolling?
Yeah, well, a few years ago, the media all got together and formed what's called the Right to Know Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really everyone is in it pretty equally. Yeah. I suspect it might have sort of started out of News Corp in Sydney, and Michael Miller, the CEO of News Corp, he's all over this, and mm-hmm. He's a very big believer in it.
Yep.
So that started a few years ago. And I think there's been discussions through the Right to Know Coalition, so that's the media banding together with government to try and stop this slide to secrecy. And I think really the raids that we saw in recent months on the ABC mm-hmm. and on Annika yes. Smith's home, including her undies drawer, they literally were wow. opening up her yeah. undies drawer, checking in the oven. I don't know what they thought. She was keeping secret documents in her oven Jesus. For a few months. But anyway, I think that was
That's probably the tipping point.
And today we saw a result, I think, of that tipping point.
All right.
Justin, when the raids on the ABC went down. That I can't help it. It seemed sinister to me
yeah.
that a public broadcaster can just be raided at the whim of a government. And my problem is, I think, is I just don't trust the guys. I don't trust the guys in government. I think they would push this as far as they
could.
What's
self-interest?
They seem punitive and they've reacted badly. They don't seem to respect whistleblowers yeah. at all.
Yep.
So the general feeling is that there's something to this in my book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one of the things about that those raids. A lot of people said, oh, you know, this is terrible, and you know, the journalists are in the gun and all that sort of thing. I agree entirely with that. But the other thing that I suspect very strongly that those raids were designed to do was not necessarily to get the journalist or even to get the source yeah. in this particular case.
What it was
designed to do was to send a message to all those potential sources out there, all those people who might come forward and blow the whistle on government corruption or what have you, that, hey, if you do this,
yes.
even if the journalist wants to keep you secret and is willing to go to yes. jail for you, we can get around that by just turning up to their home and checking their undies drawer.
Well, a disgraceful scapegoat.
Which is what Donald Trump's doing in America yeah. at the moment with the whistleblowers too. He's insisting they
That's
name
right.
a whistleblower even though he's entitled to secrecy.
Yeah, I should say I acted a few years ago for Michael Harvey and Jared McManus, two Herald Sun journalists who wrote a story about a government policy that was going to take pensions off war widows.
Yes.
Right.
As a result of that article, there was a backflip on the policy. as there should be, just totally in the public interest. Yes. I defy anyone.
War widows.
War widows. Exactly. I defy anyone to say that's not an appropriate article. As a result, there was this this absolute
inquiry into it.
Yeah, this witch hunt. Michael and Jared were both charged with not revealing their source. They were ultimately put in the witness box, asked who their source was. They both very politely declined. They both got convictions, and I've no doubt that today. Now, I remember having to tell them they might be going to jail, but luckily they didn't. But I imagine today, if they want to go to the US, they have to declare that conviction. That would be a real problem for them.
All right. Now, let's just talk through some of the things that Australians have a right to know. For example, which aged care facilities have a history of neglect and abuse when considering where you want to send your loved ones?
Yep.
That Australian land is sold to foreign owners and the terms of those deals are kept secret currently. Yep. Why don't we know that? That the government has plans to undertake secret surveillance of Australian citizens and that the Australian Tax Office can take money from your account without you knowing. What's that all about,
Justin? We know what it's about. It's about politicians not being embarrassed. And, of course, every politician in opposition says, we ought to know more. And then when they get into government, they go the other way. I mean, just think about, we've had the Royal Commission into aged care facilities. We've had the Royal Commission into banks. Neither of those, and I think everyone would accept, both of those Royal Commissions were advantageous to the community.
Well, correct.
Right? Totally. So let's say that's definitely the case. Now, neither of those Royal Commissions would have happened without the media and without whistleblowers. So if whistleblowers are scared to come forward or if the media can't publish because of our laws, those Royal Commissions don't happen. That's not in the public interest. So it's so easy to talk about these as concepts and people probably hearing this sort of going, oh, yeah, I don't disagree. Sure. We've got to sort of get a bit angry about it.
What do you want people to do? So the papers have made a unified effort.
They made a statement.
It's a striking statement. I hear today that Morrison's coming out going, mate, no one's above the law. And he's defending his ground. So anyone listening to this, and it does affect everyone, this is a...
It does, absolutely.
A line in the sand at the moment. What can people do? What do you want them to do?
Yeah, well, look, the first thing I should say about that suggestion that no one's above the law, this is not about the media saying we are not above the law. In fact...
You have to keep to the rules.
My job is to make sure my clients don't break the law.
That's right.
And my clients are big targets. Everyone knows where they are. The federal police know where they are.
Yeah.
And they know they've got a bit of money if they want to fine them and what have you.
Yes.
So this is not about the media saying, you know, we don't care about the law. We're just going to do whatever this is about us, the media, trying to change the law, shape the law so it's more in the public interest. Look, what we want people to do, I guess, is get angry about it and learn about it. And I'd actually suggest that people should go to the website's righttoknow.com.au. I'm pretty sure that's
your right to know
website.
Your right to know.
Thank you. Your right to know.com.au. Read up about it and get angry about it and realise this is real. This affects you. And I liked before Jane what you said about my dad before he passed away was in an aged care facility, and I'd like to think that as a result of the whistleblowers and the media that brought about that, our aged care facilities are better off for it.
Which so they need to
it
be.
It affects everyone.
And now the big one, poo jogger, right to privacy or don't
not,
answer
not
that
not in a public street.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, it's a big story.
Educating some radio dumb guys.
It's
important.
You.
Get on it.
Thanks, guys.
Justin Quill, media lawyer, joining us there. Dave O'Neill, not far away either. Stick around.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Stay in touch with the show. We're on all the socials, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Kennedy Malloy. The podcast will be up after the show. You can catch up on what you missed already. Been a big hour and a big one coming.
We cover a bit of ground on the show, don't we?
We've
just gone from poo jogging to freedom of the press. Sandwiched between a spin doctor's song or something.
That's right.
You know?
Exactly who it is.
It's all happening.
I think that sums our show up well, though.
That's it. By the way, you just said something interesting. The poo jogger. Should be negotiating with Roxy Jacinto.
Well, this
right now.
This is what I'm suspecting.
This could be a win-win for both of them.
Well, she could negotiate with Roxy, get a $500,000 deal with 60 Minutes, and then they both go on camera together and talk about it. And this is my prediction.
Well, I'd like to see it. I can't wait. There should be a big unveiling, like The Masked Singer. Hey, now listen. What about...
we're talking about all the newspapers around Australia. And it is a precedent because I just asked Justin as he was leaving the studio.
They're all the same.
It's definitely a precedent in Australia. Mm. And it's crazy looking at all the headlines of the newspapers. There is one newspaper...
All in unison.
Yep. All in unison. That of course, stands out. It has got the same redacted print.
Yeah.
But it's gone for the ad. Because why not?
Who's
because
done it?
It's Northern Territory News, NT News, your voice of the Territory, who we love. We're for you.
What's the ad?
It's the Darwin Laxa Festival, which I tell you what, I might fly up for myself, but you'll just have to.
Darwin
no
Laxa.
Other newspaper had an ad.
Don't
on
send
the front
a poo
page.
Jogger there. That'll end in tears.
Oof, ring of fire.
Hey, when we get back, speaking of.
We're not speaking of anything else that we've been speaking about. Separate category.
All right.
Dave O'Neill.
Coming up.
He's been to a wedding.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
It's a ripper too. I Call Bullshit is up and running. Jane, do you have any snippet for us?
Well, there's something you're talking about me might have. You might have some snippet about me that I'm very worried about. I don't know what that is.
I've heard an industry rumour.
What?
And Dave, that affects all of us.
Really?
Okay. But from
you know when you think you know someone?
Yeah.
And you think they'd tell you
you're
first?
You're worrying me. I don't know what this is. You pick this up when you're away with a radio award?
No, I didn't. It's a rumour I've heard around the traps.
Interesting. I can't wait to hear what that is.
Wow.
Okay, cool.
Let me see. It could involve...
All right. We're also going to talk about Qantas and the amazing 19-hour flight from New York to Sydney.
Lounge. Just...
You are not behaving like someone they want in the chairman's lounge.
We're going to speak to someone who was on that that plane.
Are we really?
An American passenger.
They're still alive?
He's going to talk to us. We're going to say, first question,
Okay. Wow,
was it woofy in there?
It would have been.
We'll talk
very
about that.
Great.
Very interesting. It's a landmark moment in aviation, so we'll get to the bottom of that. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets.
But now it's time for this guy.
When Dave O'Neill last joined us, he'd recently encountered parking issues while picking his kids up from the train station.
There's a woman who lives in a flat near the railway station. She's obviously had people parking in front of her driveway a lot, and she now puts her own witch's hats out on the driveway. But I've run over one of the witch's hats. She's like yelling at me and pointing, and then my teenage son has to pull it from under the tyre, and she's yelling at him, and my son gets in the car and goes, "Dad, you ruined her witch's hat, and she thinks you're a woman."
And we loved his "Have you been paying attention to poo?" a couple of weeks back.
This moment made news all around the world.
How dare you?
What are we looking at there? Dave.
I've got a teenage daughter, so I'll handle this one. Her dad has turned up early to pick her up in the station wagon.
And that's...
And he made the mistake of coming into the party and not sitting outside.
Have You Been Paying Attention returns tonight, 8:30 on 10, and we welcome back to the show now, Dave O'Neill.
Hello, Dave O'Neill.
Wow. James Crobart, a plug for a show in today.
Yeah, I saw that.
Who's on tonight?
That? Melanie Jane, Bracewell, Tony Martin, Marty Sheargold, Ed Cavalier, and, Sam Payne.
It's a big show.
It'll be good.
That's on after the... Masked Singer. Have you watched that, Dave?
I know. The Masked Singer is impressive because I didn't know there were two masks involved. So they take the first mask off, and then you go, "Who's that?" Because I think they've got a second. Because I'm watching.
I still don't know who it is.
Osha has a lot of explaining, doesn't he? When the mask comes off.
My kids are like, "Who's that?" And I go, "That's Nikki Webster." But yeah, but who's that? You know,
Wendell Saylor on our show. Do we have the grab? We have on our show.
We spoke to Wendell on Friday
because we were asking him about it. So who do you know? He's just started talking to him as the names. He's going, "Oh, so Cody Simpson."
Simpson's forgot that you're not allowed to say still. And perhaps I'd speculate and said, "Look, I think it's Georgie Coghlan, and I think it's Wendell."
We've got him here. Have a listen to Wendell.
I reckon the robot, he's been great. Cody Simpson, he's been good. But you sort of, I love, like, Rob Mills has been great.
The wolf with his howling.
We're just
on.
Naming them now.
He said Rob Mills, Cody Simpson.
I don't think he knew what he was doing.
And also Cody Simpson
a concussion has test for Wendell Saylor, I reckon.
Cody's been spotted entering the country. He's been overseas.
So he's flying in as we speak.
Well, I interviewed Wendell Saylor once and I asked him how much he weighed. And he weighs 125 kilos. And I said, "Well, that's good. 10 more kilos, and I'm an elite athlete."
Dave, have you got a suntan?
Oh, I've been in Brisbane. I've been in Queensland. There's a certain abattoir that I'm doing a bit of PR work for. They need a new spokesperson.
What have you
been in Brisbane for?
My brother's wedding. My brother's Trev got married.
Hang on.
Trev, the older brother.
Your older brother
got married.
Second marriage, yeah?
Yeah, second marriage, that's right.
Are we allowed
to
talk about it?
Yeah, we can talk about it, of course. Yeah, so,
first of all, how old is... Like, he's mature.
Late 50s, yeah.
Well, what's he doing having a wedding for? What's
going
on?
Well, the bride's 25, so no, she's
not. The bride young?
Oh, Jesus, Dave. What is wrong with you?
She's the same age, roughly. I don't know.
Did you charge him for hosting?
Yeah, I've got to send the invoice.
What are you... Tell me about a second wedding. I'm fascinated.
I did the same speech twice. I pulled the old one out.
Dave, what do people wear for a second wedding? Do you come down? You're all in the white?
It's still the bride wore white. She'd never been married before.
Oh, well, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
I don't think so. White's for virgins.
Let's be honest.
I don't know. Some traditions. Well, we're a stickler for traditions.
You'd be really a stickler for that, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Well, you better get to schoolies, toot sweet. That's the only way it's going
to
happen.
Get to schoolies. Too late. That ship sailed. I know kids today.
Yeah, you just get a lot of people going, my mum loves you. You get a lot of that. I do.
Exactly.
I had my nana the other day. My nana thinks you're hilarious. Mum and dad didn't go.
She sounds nice.
Why didn't your parents?
Well, mum's a bit too frail to get on the plane.
Okay, I can't understand that.
And so it was me, but all the brothers were there. So there's four of us.
Your brother from Switzerland?
Yeah, Glenn flew in. I was meant to be in Senegal, but it was cancelled.
We love your brother.
He's still skinny. See, we're all bigger. And he's like, so as my brother said, there's some kind of mineral deficiency in Switzerland. We don't know what's going on over there.
And is it like a church or is it a garden?
No, in a winery. Another
question. Are you identical?
Yes, we are identical. Yeah, we are identical.
Like, but not now.
Wouldn't it? It'd be like a booper ad.
I've seen a picture of them.
It's like a Jenny Craig ad. It's like... We could go to Women's Weekly and make a lot of money saying, I lost this much weight.
You should have the same genetic makeup, shouldn't you?
Well, we should have. That's I'm only fat because I eat bad food. Right. I know that.
You should do some poo jogging. That'll take off the weight in many ways.
Why should he?
It's exercise and you're taking a load off.
I'm more of a wee hurdler. I like to spell it.
Hold that thought, mate. We're going to come back with more Dave O'Neill.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dave O'Neill is here. His podcast, The Debrief, and Somehow Related, wherever you get your podcasts, always a good laugh.
With the great Glenn Robbins and...
who's on?
Me and Glenn are actually doing a live podcast of Somehow Related coming up soon.
Crikey. Where are you going to do that?
European Beer Cafe in Melbourne.
In Melbourne?
We're going to tour, hopefully, but you're talking about the Qantas Club and all that. I'm not a member to any of those clubs because I'm a man of the people. I like to sit with Dangerous Dave.
Yeah, we had a good chat yesterday.
You said you saw you at the Brisbane Airport.
Yeah, the Brisbane Airport. As Glenn said, I don't want to make a toasted sandwich next to a CEO. You know what I mean? And I was there because you've got to make your own sandwiches at the Qantas Club.
I'm aware of that. Mick's a good sandwich maker.
Don't worry about that. He makes good ones.
I was there one with Glenn Robbins, a friend of the show, and he made a lovely toasted sandwich just waiting for it to cook. And he's just standing there, and all Italian lady walked up and went, thank you, and took the sandwich.
Oh, no, there's toast stealers in those clubs.
Hey, Dave, we're saying we cover a bit of ground on this, and I can't think of anyone more down the other end of the pool with Justin Quill at one end and you down the other. Did you hear his comments?
Yeah, because I've noticed all the papers there. My kids were talking about how they're all blacked out.
It is a big story.
And he was talking about how the journalists got their house raided. And it brought back memories to me because I was telling him before he came on that we had our house raided. I was in a shared house with my twin brother Glenn and three other mates.
Yeah.
And we got our house raided in the 80s. And because my brother Glenn was working for a very large company and someone stole documents and sold them.
So that's very early days because that's very common now.
Yeah, they thought it was him. And so these cops turned up like 7 a.m. and came running in, and I just remember my mate Noddy sprinting to the lounge room and throwing the bong in the dryer.
The bong in the
dryer. You're joking.
Yeah, they were like, they were cops.
And how many turned up? Was it in...
four or five. They weren't the soggies.
What did they do? Take the computers and stuff?
There was like 9.85. We had no computers.
Mm. Did they have like a warrant or something?
They had a warrant. They had a warrant, and they said they just searched for documents. They were searching for documents. They obviously didn't look in the dryer because that's where the bong was. and then they were all pretty tough. And then a cat came down the stairs and one went, oh, like pussy. And they got me and Glenn.
Give you a bit of a laugh?
Me and Glenn, my twin brother, together. And they're like, all right, Glenn, Glenn O'Neill, what's your full name? He goes, Glenn Andrew O'Neill. He goes, what's your date of birth? And Glenn goes, 8th to the 5th of 65. He goes, all right, David, you're his twin brother. What's your full name, David Griffin O'Neill? Then he goes, what's your date of birth? I go, it's the same. He goes, what do you mean? We're twins, mate. We said we're twins.
Oh, my God.
But nothing ever happened. There were no charges.
What were you doing at the time? Were you like on the couch in your underpants watching the midday show?
I was asleep.
I was early morning. It was a dawn raid.
It was about 10 a.m. We were all asleep.
10 a.m. Hey, never been raided.
You've never been raided? That's remarkable.
That's me touching wood.
I've been invited to be part of a, like, look onto a raid. A girlfriend of mine had a warehouse opposite a house that...
it got raided regularly.
Yeah, and the cops said, can we, you know...
Look out the window.
She said, I've got my girlfriend's coming home. He goes, that's all right. So we had the detectives and about three of us chicks all sort of watching with me. He goes, here, have a look through the binoculars, James. Oh my God. And we could just see the goings on of the drug raid that was happening over the road.
What a panty raid.
Sorry? Not a panty raid.
Hey, just quickly before we go, what do you intend for the spring carnival?
I did a gig for the Thoroughbred Club the other day, which was great. And okay. I was trying to explain, the kids were asking me what's the difference between the trots, because I did the trots too the other day, and the Thoroughbreds.
Yes.
And I said, Thoroughbreds are like, that's a bit more wealthier. They're for wealthier people. I said, trots are more, trots are more working class, aren't they? They're down to earth.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And then my son said, what about the greyhounds? I said, they're for criminals. Anyway. No, I love the greyhounds.
Hey, thanks for swinging by. Have you got something you want to plug?
Somehow related a podcast with
the
Glenn
podcast,
Robbins.
It's a bloody good podcast.
It is.
It's
a good
one. How's Glenn?
He's great. What is it? Relaxation talks at his over. He goes to an over 50s gym where you've got to be over 50.
Mate, he's the biggest nana I've ever met.
Stop it.
Imagine him trying.
No. Glenn cops it every time you're in and I'm defending
him. But Tony, the gym owner, gives the talk and Glenn's like the assistant, like the grasshopper. And the...
How often do you see him in his underpants? Don't you, when stop you wait to you tour, you'll just. You'll walk into his hotel.
Worse than the underpants.
You'll walk past stage and he'll be ironing in his underpants.
And also.
And he won't bat an eyelid.
And a fan of nudity, too.
We know.
What about the one of. Wind it up. I'll show you a picture.
Okay, no.
He's on the show next Monday.
He's on the show next Monday, and we're going to play this back.
Glenn on his bed with a beautifully placed flower.
Oh, I've seen that.
It's Dave O'Neill.
I defended you, Glenn.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Onlooker, a source close to industry, source insiders, pals, friends of, associates, speculation, eyewitnesses.
Liam and Isabel. Yes, it's true.
It's time to call bull.
Off you go.
Okay, this is in New Weekly, and just on the back of that, I'm going to do another Liam Hemsworth story.
Right.
Because there's a baby scandal, Miley's pregnant, and Liam's the dad.
I call bull.
Apparently they're saying that Miley went to hospital early this month with tonsillitis, but really she was
going... It's a passion nurse.
Well, no.
Is that all you've got? Is that it?
It's not it.
Is that what you've opened with?
Yeah. Why? What's wrong with that?
Have you got anything bigger? Anything better? I have.
What do you mean?
So, okay. Let's just go. Let's just get this. Let's just clear the air because...
What are you doing?
It's like I'm going to get emotional now because it feels like there's been a betrayal of trust here in the office.
Where are you, Lee? I'm really worried.
I'm going to put
what
this to you live on air, and you need to answer me honestly.
Here we go.
You better not make up any. What are you doing?
This is like sneaking around behind your show husband.
All right, this will be good. What?
Gary Mann. And Matt Preston, they've been seen in and out of the Seven
Channel
Series.
7,
This comes from a very good source, Jane. And it would have been nice to hear this
from you. I knew that they were talking
it's disappointing. It's sneaky. It's not like you. You do have beady little eyes, but I thought better of this.
I had sleepy eyes.
Than you. Gary Mann and Matt Preston have been seen going in and out of Channel 7. The Channel 7 upfronts are on Wednesday. I believe there'll be some kind of announcement about a new cooking show involving them and you hussy.
What?
Beg your pardon. Me?
What? You. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
I wish you the best. You are unbelievable.
I don't not know what you're talking about.
Don't you, Jane? Don't you?
So I cook like a master chef.
Wait.
You can't even look at me.
Just because I've put four cookbooks out.
You can't even look me in the eye. Look me in the eye and say you're not doing it.
Where did you hear this from?
From a very good source.
Listen.
Cash cow. No, deny
I'm denying it. No, there's no. I don't know what you're talking about.
Where there's smoke.
I don't know where you hear these
rumors.
Where
there's smoke, there's fire, which means there's a sausage, which means Matt Preston's not far away.
You know I get on great with those guys. They're great friends.
Well, you do, don't you? So it kind of makes sense.
Well, no, I'm...
No. Yes or no. Look, you're not waving it off.
Squeaming.
Look at this.
I don't,
when's
honestly,
the announcement? When's the press release?
This is hard to watch. This
you know,
is sad.
How would I fit that into my lifestyle? You know, it'd have to. I'd have to be on a really, really big wage to do that.
But they said when they came in, the reason why they quit the other network is they wanted less time. So this works perfectly for you.
You know what? Fit in with my lifestyle.
Yeah. Me and George Colombaris are going to do a show together too.
George will not be speaking to you.
Why?
Good luck with that.
Am I the bad guy? He's got a book out.
I know.
Which should be down the back of his pants when it stands out the front of the headmaster's office. Why didn't he come on our show?
Because we hadn't invited him back to be on our show at the moment.
Well, you should have invited him.
Well, I will. George,
well,
come on our show.
It's been uncomfortable for you, is it?
Oh, that's true.
Because you're wide-handing George Colombaris.
I'm not wide-handing.
You are. You've taken
if
his job.
If that becomes a headline in the Daily Mail,
Kennedy,
you're dead.
Kennedy wide-hands George Colombaris.
I do not, and I am not. There's no truth to that at all. No.
You have.
Interesting.
But you know what?
All I would say is, you know,
you're
I love
like Lady
cooking.
Macbeth.
I love
you
food.
Are, you always, conniving's the word. Just don't trust me. Are you good?
All right,
have you denied it?
No comment.
Oh! Wow. Well, there it is. It's official. Wow. Apparently Jane's one of the new judges on the Channel 7 show.
Get me a sausage?
That's right.
Sausage.
Four cookbooks too.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is a really historic moment for Qantas, a really historic moment for Australian aviation, and a really historic moment for world aviation. We're the first commercial airline to fly non-stop from New York to Sydney. This is part of our Project Sunrise, and this is the first of three test flights that's going to come up with recommendations about how we manage pilot fatigue, how we actually manage passenger jet lag. And after 19 hours on the flight, I think we've gotten this right.
And we have one of the guinea pigs on the flight.
That'd be nice. That's
well, I'm just saying, it's like a laboratory that was on there. Well, we've got Ben Matzebor. Hello, Ben. Welcome to Australia and welcome to Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks. It's good to join you.
Hey, Ben, you were able to be on this flight. Tell us how you got on, because there were only 50 people on this special flight.
Yeah, that's right. So, and to be clear, I wasn't one of the guinea pigs. I was part of a media contingent on this flight, but
okay.
I got to watch the guinea pigs.
Okay.
Front row seats.
But you still have to go through the same process yourself, I imagine, as jet lag and 19 hours on a flight. Tell us how it begins.
That's right. So we started in New York on Friday afternoon U.S. time, headed to Kennedy Airport, 9 p.m. there. We got on the flight. 19 hours later, we're here. And, you know, I can tell you what's really interesting, what Qantas did with these passengers on the flight.
Yep.
The passengers wore wrist monitors that checked for activity and daylight, and had to keep sleep journals and participate in alertness whack-a-mole exercises.
Okay.
You know, it's just to kind of see how alert they were as the flight went along. And they're doing all kinds of research over a three-week period to kind of set some benchmarks.
How did you find it? So, now to me, it sounds great because you get there sooner, but 19 and a half hours on a plane nonstop, I imagine, you might hit the wall at some stage. How did you fare?
So I did hit the wall. So they kept the lights on for 6 hours when we first got on the plane. You know, usually you get on, go right to sleep. Mm. They tried to put us in Sydney time right from the beginning.
Yep. Okay.
Right. And that was all right until about 2 or 3 in the morning my time in the U.S. East Coast.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but then they serve you a meal with lots of carbs. They really try to, like, it's even with the meals, they're engineered to make it work. And then I fell asleep. I only got 3 or 4 hours of solid sleep, so I will tell you, by the time I landed in Sydney, it was I was ready for a
May
real
I ask,
bed.
Ben, were you in business class?
We were, you know, fortunately, with so few people on the flight, that count of 50 passengers includes the crew, so there was room for all of us.
So you all had business. You got your jammies on. Tell us about the grog situation, because when I get on a plane and it's a treat, I don't sort of, you know, I have one when I take off, and the next hour, and that can go on. Did they sort of keep the alcohol ration away? You. Did they ration you? Yeah.
They did not prevent any of us from drinking, but I think they really strongly discouraged the guinea pigs having a nice glass of red wine right when they got on the plane.
Okay.
Okay, now I have to ask, did you watch 52 movies in a row? Yes.
I only watched two, believe it or not. So.
Okay.
Can I ask something? This is very, I have a thing about toilets on planes. Yes. What was the situation there? Was it all okay?
Well, you know, I don't think anyone really loves the toilets on airplanes, but I will say, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, where, like, 1 would be really awful, it was at least a 7 or 8.
All right, that's okay.
Is there
that's
a future in this? Ben, do you reckon this is the future of aviation, especially for routes to and from Australia?
You know, Australia obviously would benefit by having direct connections, mm-hmm. especially from the eastern part to London and to the east coast of the United States. So I think there's certainly going to be a demand for it. But getting back to one of your earlier questions, I think it really comes down to what type of passenger you are. And I know for me personally, well, vary by person, but for me personally, if I'm in the front of the plane, I want the nonstop flight.
Yeah.
If I'm in the back of the plane, I think I'd rather stop somewhere and stretch my legs.
Okay,
and Ben,
good
point. This was a 787 Dreamliner. This was a brand new plane. Did it have the new plane smell?
No, it really did.
Did it really?
Not after 19 and a half hours, I'll bet.
Yeah, they only had the plane for like maybe 4 or 5 days before we got on it. I mean, it really was brand spanking new.
Brand new.
Fascinating insight.
Yeah. It really is.
Thank you very much, Ben. Give yourself a plug. Do you represent a magazine or something?
I write for the Point Sky website. Yep. That's thepointsky.com. Yep. It's a U.S. website that covers airline news and gives you points and miles advice. Check it out if you got the time.
We will, mate. Thank you so much. Great fascinating insights. Can you get me to the chairman's lounge? Do you have any pull there?
We've got all kinds of advice for you. We can help you out.
Done. All right, I'm going to lobby. Thanks, mate. Well done. Can I say something?
What?
Yeah. I'm going to take the next flight. I don't believe you. Because I reckon I could break Bernie's record. At 19 and a half hours.
Yeah, you're right.
You reckon?
I'm on.
You could. This is the only thing that was disturbing me, that they were sort of rationing and spicy food comes out at one stage and carbs come out at one stage. I go, no, I want my spicy food.
It would have to be like casino lighting, I imagine, where you're just in a temporal haze.
They adjust it. Or just a bit of a sleeping tablet.
Okay.
How many pilots? You'd need a few, wouldn't you? You'd need a few floating around.
Four, apparently.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, well, that makes me
happy. Now you're Piper.
I've got the way as if I'd know. James was telling me.
Wasn't it a chick pilot too? Yeah, it was a chick pilot.
That's why it took so long. They went the wrong way.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
It is indeed, and it's all thanks to the mighty Holden, Colorado. I saw a billboard driving to the airport yesterday of the Holden, Colorado, and I thought of this show.
Did you stop?
I was in the traffic.
Did you ogle it?
I did, and I thought, there it is.
Did you bow down?
Well, I didn't. But
that's how in fashion it is.
Did you get the prayer mat out?
I was thinking about it.
Well, why wouldn't
you? But there it was. I'm up in lights, the Holden, Colorado.
Fantastic. It's so in fashion because
it is
such a remarkable vehicle with 7 years free scheduled servicing, which I can't believe even exists.
7 years? That'll see you out. You'll be in working a different business.
Well, you could do that. And it's got
the Duramax diesel engine as well.
Yeah. Are you serious?
3.5-ton towing capacity. Holden's DuraGrip traction control as well. It's got everything
you
need.
Well, let's talk to somebody who actually drives one of these.
Yes.
From the great state of Queensland, from Brisbane, where we've just been, home of some very proud Colorado owners. Kerry's on the line. How are you, Kerry?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Now, welcome to the big Holden, Colorado family. How long have you had the Colorado?
I've had my Colorado since 2017.
Bang. Okay. And is it a game changer for you? Has it changed your life?
Oh, my God, I love it.
Now, tell us, what was your inspiration for getting a Colorado? Because I love hearing women buying these vehicles. In fact, I was speaking to one of the big wigs at Holden, Colorado the other day.
Right.
And she was saying, I love that, Jane, you're talking about the Holden, Colorado, this because it's empowering for women to have one of these cars. Kerry, why do you have one?
Well, I think I first decided to get a Colorado because I had big dogs, right?
There you go.
You sound like a ripper, Kerry.
You do.
If you've got a Colorado and you love big dogs.
Yeah.
Hello.
Wow. Who needs Tinder?
It's like a dating service.
Kerry, what kind of dogs do you have?
Well, we've got Bull Mastiffs and Great Danes.
Oh, my God.
Not like Floyd the Bull Mastiff. It's not that big. There's your 3.5-ton towing.
They
are Floyd in the back.
Big. Now, what do you do for a living, Kerry?
Yes, I'm a hairdresser.
Oh, wow. What do everybody in the hairdresser think when they see you rock up in your hot... Well, what colour Colorado do you have?
I have... It's all black with pink number plates.
Oh, my gosh. So I have got so much FOMO, it's not funny.
And you're behind the wheel, you got the dogs in the back... And you, yeah. The world's your oyster. You can go wherever you want. Did you get out and about on the weekend? What'd you do?
I did, actually. So I actually run Brisbane Colorado Owners. It's a club for Colorado Owners in Brisbane.
You're the queen of Colorado's, Kerry.
I am the queen.
Oh, well, we bow down to you and we thank you and we thank Holden Colorado. Hey, anybody, you've got to go to holden.com.au. Find your dealer. Get on
Kerry. Yeah. I wish I'd have known I was up there the weekend. You could have chauffeured me around.
You could have been like you could have met your dogs.
Double Island's beautiful.
Double Island, that's stunning.
Yeah. Come and get me. Yeah. Come and get me.
Thanks, Kerry.
Hello, Kerry. Business.
No
Another
worries,
proud Holden Colorado.
We'll suit your prize as well, Kerry, for being a Colorado lover.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Great show today. We've covered so much ground, and I mentioned before the podcast will be up in about an hour or so. Kennedy
Malloy. How do you
Malloy?
Get that?
Oh, stop.
What do you do?
On this again.
How do you do it?
You go to your apps.
Why can't you just speak it? Why can't you?
Apps on your phone.
Why can't you just talk? What about voice control?
Well, you go,
hey Siri. Phone, I want, phone. Give me the app.
Hey Siri.
Open apps.
Careful. You don't want to be doing that at any time with your phone opening just by
hey
random.
Siri, play never. Kennedy Malloy. Might work.
I'll do it.
Oh, hey Siri.
Hey Siri. Play Kennedy Malloy. And I've got on silent.
All right.
Oh, well, which makes sense because I'm doing a broadcast. Hey,
there's the promo.
Play Kennedy Malloy.
I'm on it. Now playing podcast Kennedy Malloy Catch-Up, Triple M Network.
You're welcome, Joe.
This is Mark Howard.
Mark Howard.
Howie?
I don't know why he's on there, but anyway.
You secretly.
I'm so angry at Howie.
That's like hearing porn.
Get off our podcast, Howie.
Yes.
What are you doing there?
I think it's an ad for podcast.
I think we're all still a bit tired from the weekend, being away in Brisbane up for the Radio
Do you know
Awards.
What? To me, it was business. It was all business.
I beg your pardon.
There was no...
Yeah, well, why didn't you turn up to bloody rehearsal and make me go by myself?
Oh, you are right.
That's right.
Sorry, you did the same thing to me at the Logies as well, by the way.
Where were you?
You owe me big time.
Hang on.
You owe me. One job to do, which was rehearsal.
I was doing some power broking.
You were at a boozy lunch with other radio people.
Yeah. From other stations.
From other stations.
Do you know where I was?
I couldn't give a rat's because you weren't with me in rehearsal and they kept going... Oh, is this Mick? I go, no, this is Jay Mueller, our executive producer.
Oh, so you went to rehearsals without Mick. He wasn't there at all.
No.
So you had to do it on... Oh,
and I'd say, all right, so we come out and I'll say, hi, I'm Jane Kenny. And then I swiveled over. I said, and I'm Mick Malloy. I said, sorry, Mick's not here. That's what I did.
Yeah, well,
saved your ass
And
again.
You could tell I wasn't because you have no microphone craft at all. So when we get up there, she hogs the microphone. So it's the two of us, and there's my microphone. She stands in front of it. Not going to keep leaning in. Going, is this thing on?
I thought you were both very good up on stage. Yeah. Both very good.
You were drunk again, would you? Yeah.
Oh, apparently we're getting some phone calls from people's phones.
Mark's on the line. Mark, what's your problem?
Mate, you just set everybody's phone off. Mate, Siri, ask him, go to the bloody podcast.
See, I'm talking now. I wasn't talking when Mick was crapping on about my bad microphone technique, Mark, but, you know.
This is good promotion for our thing.
Tracy,
thanks.
You got the same problem. Hey, Trace.
Yes, I have.
Have I done it for you?
Yes, definitely.
Well, Tracy, listen to the podcast.
I will. I know how to do a podcast, Mick.
Yeah, thank you. We're not all stupid like you, Mick.
Oh, hey.
Hey, that's no you way take that back about my microphone technique.
That's
one
no
thing
way
too,
to
when we're
show
on stage, I say, I'm on the right because I've been to rehearsal, that's you're right on the left. We get on stage, he goes on the bloody right. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, but you said, see, I think, because I'm a professional, I think stage right.
Oh, you are a knob.
So I am stage right. You call me a knob?
You're a knob. That's the least I can call you.
All right, well, what about this?
What?
Deny it again that you are not doing a show with
Matt Preston. Gary Meehan.
Yep, and Matt Preston.
Is it happening?
I don't know what
Channel
your, who 7 your intel
Channel 7
up
front on Wednesday. Those
oh, well,
guys
if
have
I'm not
been
here on Wednesday, going, you know. If I'm mysteriously...
Would you do that? Would you just... Would you
I'm
just
not saying
pack,
a word.
Would you just pack your bags and off?
I'm is it like MasterChef? Or
I wouldn't have to leave the radio show if I did this.
Is there a winner? Is there, like, what happens?
Is there a journey of cooking?
Do you cook?
I would not have to leave radio if I did television.
Do you get a chance to give everyone food poisoning? You're a good cook. I'll say that.
So you owe me so much.
What do you mean?
Just a lot.
I was power broking at a very important meeting, which was poolside.
Yeah, I know who
was Ben Fordham.
Tim Blackwell.
Tim Blackwell. Fitzy, our boss. Yeah.
This is where I tune out.
And
I wasn't there.
And we were poolside.
Because I had to be, because I'm a girl.
We're poolside in Hawaiian shirts.
Right, and I had to go to hair and makeup because I'm a girl and you don't have to do that.
I didn't make you go to hair and makeup. And by the way, you could have spent an extra hour there. I would have...
Wow.
Are you going or not? Are you doing your show at 7?
Well, I would go in a flash to get away from you.
All right. Charles Firth from The Chase is going to join us tomorrow. Enjoy your night. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Get any more.
Another Kennedy Malloy adventure is complete. And with the Holden Colorado, every day is an adventure. Now with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range, you're free to take on anything. Visit Holden.com for more details.